Take your Bibles, please, and turn to chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And really, today's message is dealing with one of those ultimate questions of life. Why are we here? What is God's purpose for us? Why has He placed us where He has us at this particular time? A number of Paul's epistles were written to the saints in various places. For example, Romans was written to the believers in Rome, while Corinthians was written to the believers in Corinth. Likewise, believers are addressed in Galatia and Ephesus and Colossae, Thessalonica, and here in the book of Philippians. All of these believers in different places, and they all possessed another citizenship. Yes, they were citizens of the places that Paul addressed, but they were also citizens of heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11, it reveals that we are merely strangers and pilgrims here. What are we doing? We are looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham did when he was here, Hebrews 11, verse 10. The epistle of Philippians is addressed to the saints which are at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 1. Acts 16, verse 12. Philippi was a colony. It was a Roman colony located in the great north-east-west highway, what we know today as the Ignatian Highway or the Ignatian Way. And the word colony is very important for us to understand, because a colony was a group of people who leave their native country to form in a new land a settlement or an outpost that was subject to the parent nation. It's very important that we understand this if you're going to understand where we're going this morning. A group of people who leave their native country to form a new land, a new settlement, a new outpost subject to the parent nation. So Philippi is a Roman colony. You remember by Augustus, it was made such as a memorial because of his victory over Brutus and Cassius. And now, recognizing that Philippi was a Roman colony, I want us to note our text in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And God's word says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." Don't miss this. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Notice the phrase there in verse 20 again, "For our conversation is in heaven." The people in 1611, when the King James Version was released, they would have understood this fully. But the word conversation has a total different meaning to us today. In our modern English, we usually think of it as just a reference to our speech, our talking. This is not the meaning in the text here. The Greek word for conversation is translated a number of different ways. Citizenship is one common, and I notice a number of translations translate it that way. James Moffat's 1913 translation in the New Testament replaces the word conversation with the word colony. Boy, I looked at that and my eyes just glued to that. There are other translations that give us these words: community, commonwealth, and even homeland, referring to, of course, heaven, our final dwelling place. The people in 1611, when the King James was written, would have understood this word conversation. The Greek word, we get our English word, politics or politician. That does not make this a bad word, by the way. But this is translated again, community, commonwealth, or colony abstractly, and we could say citizenship figuratively. And so now you're thinking, so what? Well, the idea here is that our citizenship is in heaven. That means that our mindset, Our goals, our motivations, our aims, our desires ought to be heavenly in nature. Not so much so that we are no earthly good, but different from those who do not possess this heavenly citizenship. So, I want us to recognize this morning that as Christians, we have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of the United States of America, and we are citizens of heaven. Our heavenly citizenship is dependent on our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our homeland is wherever Christ is, since we are united in Him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 reminds us that we have been raised together and we have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So while our physical position is here upon the earth, our spiritual position is heavenly. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And as long as we maintain our earthly citizenship, we remain absent from our Lord who is in heaven. But until that time, we need to understand that we are a colony of heaven living here on the earth. I want us first to note a little bit of the historical examination of this word colony. And by way of illustration, we should note from history, particularly the historical context in which Paul actually penned this epistle to the Philippian believers, at that time in history, there were two empires dotting the Mediterranean coast. And what were they dotting it with? Colonies! We have the Grecian Empire and we have the Roman Empire. Again, another reminder, a colony is a group of people who leave their native country to form a new land in a settlement or an outpost or a homeland subject to the parent nation. Why? These were established for a number of different reasons, some to expand the empires. Some for political reasons, some for military reasons, some for business goals. Rome planted them primarily to maintain her authority and push her expansion of her country beyond bounds of what it was. So all over different parts of the world, Rome was expanding. The Roman colonies that were established were more urban than rural. Those living in them would have had a Roman citizenship, and they were expected to maintain certain allegiance to Rome. Philippi was, as said before, a Roman colony. It was one of first rank. The city was controlled by Roman law. The city was free from taxation, and the people realized that they were citizens of Rome. With the two empires expanding their authority, Rome became the political authority, while the culture and the language and the ideals became Greek in nature. The Greek language became the lingua franca of that particular day. Meticulous records and close correspondence was always maintained back to the fatherland. A good illustration of this that is closer to our hearts would be American history, because it provides a similar example. New England colonies speaks of England coming over to the United States of America. What were they doing? Setting up colonies, establishing their presence on the eastern coast. Those being transplanted brought with them certain loyalties to the fatherland or the motherland, to England. So there's the language, there was the culture, there were the books, there were the ideals. They even brought their furniture from England. And by establishing all of the colonies, England was claiming unclaimed territory, just as did ancient Rome as she expanded her borders. And the transplants from England left behind, what did they leave behind? All kinds of ease and comfort of their homeland for adventure and for conquest to expand the territory of England, their hopes and their spirits and their ideals of the fatherland. Well, the Roman colonists left Rome determined to be obedient to the laws of their homeland and to advance the empire in any possible way. And while they were free from taxation, they still were on call for Senate duty if the empire should call them. They still were on call for military duty if the empire should call upon them. So there are three very important historical facts important to our understanding of all of this. Number one, these colonists left knowing that they would be in the new land, but not part of the new land. Does that make sense? They were in the new land, but they were not of the new land. And this needs to be repeated because the Roman colonists recognized that while they were there, their loyalties were back to Rome. Secondly, they left desiring to make the new land, no matter what the cost, a part of Rome. They had a mission. They had a commission. They were to make the new land Rome. Culturally, they held on to their heritage, acting as Roman citizens, speaking the language, eating the foods of their homeland, maintaining the traditions, honoring the flag, celebrating her holidays and observances, and they held strong patriotic commitment for the glory of Roman national life. There was an unbreakable bond between them and their homeland, unashamedly so. And then thirdly, before they left Rome, they attended a farewell service at the Temple of Vesta. Why? To worship and to vow their obedience to Roman law, the laws of their homeland, and to be eager to carry with them the temple ministry in their colonies that they were to establish or take over one way or the other. That's the historical background. Let's look at a little bit of the exposition of the passage itself. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19 are a parenthesis, while verse 17 flows naturally into verse 20. So go back to verse 17, and let's pick it up there. Verse 17, brethren, Christians, God's people, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. The word followers can be translated here, imitators. What is Paul saying? Be imitators of me. Now in verses 18 and 19, Paul then exhorts them not to follow those who are the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. And then to notice, in verse 18, Paul is very, very emotional about this matter. He exhorts them while weeping. He knows how dangerous the enemies of the cross of Christ are. And the Roman colonists would go into areas where the inhabitants would have been enemies of Rome. Paul here is filled with emotion because he knows that some of them are going to take his healing lightly. Some of them will fall victims to the enemies of the cross. Today, right here in America, we are living in a land full of the enemies of Jesus Christ. Non-believers. And many believers who are weak in the faith will follow the ways of this land instead of following the ways of Christ. Now in verse 20, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. What is he saying? Our interests, our aims, the thrust of our lives, the outflow of our life, it's all heavenward. We are here only temporarily establishing these colonies from which we can accomplish the goals of our citizenship. This does not mean that we're not citizens down here. We are so. And so why? We pay our taxes willingly. Amen? Didn't hear a lot of amens on that one. And we have a certain allegiance to our own government. True Christians tend to be good citizens far more than non-Christians. Romans chapter 13 emphasizes the importance of faithfulness to our earthly citizenship. But that does not mean that we hide our eternal citizenship in the shade. And so while we consider the mission that we have as colonists of heaven, we must fully recognize that you cannot legislate righteousness. And the only way people will ever follow God's ways is if they are born again. And I would ask you this question this morning. How interested are you about heaven? Honestly, is this something you think about? How interested are you about heaven? God's word says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in," what class? Heaven. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, 16. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5, 48. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," Jesus said, "I will confess him also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. And so Paul states in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. He recognized what God was doing through the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of those who were citizens of heaven. And through Jesus Christ, by the power of his death and his burial and his resurrection, the kingdom of God was being established on earth, a kingdom filled with colonies of people with a heavenly citizenship. And this was a colony of love, a kingdom of love, a colony of grace and mercy, a heavenly colony, a heavenly kingdom. There was a small group of colonists in Jerusalem when the Prince of Glory was crucified. Right in the midst of all kinds of insults and abuses in his own nation, they had no political power of their own. But under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, they turned their world upside down with heaven's ideals and God's holy word, which revealed his message of spiritual life and spiritual laws. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, the officials in Thessalonica, they accused the believers of turning their world upside down. You say, what were they doing? They were settling in little colonies and they went everywhere, planting Christ's kingdom everywhere they went, urging people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to become fellow colonists of the kingdom of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, speaking of these colonists, God's word says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Everyone was hearing about it. Oh, there were persecutions, fearful persecutions of those early believers. Many were tortured. Many lost their jobs. Many were even put to death. But it did not faze the advancement of the kingdom. And like the Roman colonists, they moved forward regardless of what the cost might be. They were held in suspicion, and there were times when it seemed that the kingdom of God would be eradicated from the earth. But the church moved forward by the blood of its martyrs, which proved to be the seed of the church. And that's what happened when the kingdom of God, with its colonies, ran directly into the kingdom of Rome with its colonies. And Rome did its best to try to crush these early believers, forcing them to admit that the emperor was God. And if they did not do so, they could take their lives, which many of them perished at that particular point because they said that Jesus alone was God. So they were loyal to their heavenly citizenship, recognizing what it might cost. I don't know if you recognize this. You ought to by the news every day. But right now in America, Christianity is being threatened. Our institutions are being told we cannot pray in Jesus' name. We cannot use the Bible. We cannot, and Christians are being persecuted. If this continues the way it's going right now, I wonder what it's going to cost us to stand for Jesus Christ in the future. But I want us to understand from history that the day came when the colony of heaven was mightier than the empire of Rome. And the splendor of Rome was crushed to pieces, just as was prophesied in Daniel. But the church continued to thrive in every part of the known world of that day. And the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ continued to be loyal in service, committed to their King, Jesus Christ, recognizing him totally as sole authority and Lord. And it was clearly documented in the letters. You can read it in the seven churches of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. When I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but remember how the missionary movement started right here in America. And it was in 1806. A group of students ducked underneath a haystack to escape a rainstorm. And for some reason, they began to pray. Students from Williams College. And they began to pray about lost souls. And out of that prayer meeting came the first foreign mission society in North America. And through that very society, the first missionaries went from this continent. You know what they went to do? Plant colonies all over the world. And today, there are millions of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that were saved as a direct result of that haystack prayer meeting, and missionaries today continue to plant colonies of believers everywhere, even in the Philippines and in Africa, in Puerto Rico, in China. Colonies are still being spread all over the world, and there are Christians who are paying the dear price with their lives, and they are standing true to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what Brother Joel and his wife have in mind, going to the Philippines to plant colonies. It's interesting because shortly after Rome fell in 410, Augustine wrote The City of God. Some of you have read that. What was he doing? He was looking heavenward, noting that even if every single world empire would fall, that the city of God, the city of heaven, would never fall. It's kind of interesting, but Satan tries to get in every possible way he can to no matter what you try to do for God. I've shared with you before about Harvey Wilcox, and he moved from Kansas. He just felt things were getting too wicked in that area. And so he and his wife went westward thinking they could build a little area that would be a colony for God. And so what did they do? They moved out and found a piece of land out in California. They were going to build a colony for God. And he formed the Wilcox and Shaw Real Estate Company, and they bought some property. And the very first thing they built was a church. He got laws passed that no bars, no nightclubs would be built in this city. Do you know what the city is called today? Hollywood. You say, whoa, what happened? It too fell from its high stature. But you see, no matter what colony fails, there is always a remnant of God's people. Oh, there are so many organizations that started out right, like the YMCA, which started out to reach boys for the Lord Jesus Christ. Other organizations were formed with the same purposes in mind. Today, they've become just moral institutions, no longer with any spiritual goals. Paul was a native of Tarsus. The significance? Tarsus was a Roman colony. That made the Apostle Paul a citizen of Rome, and we know that he used that identification on a number of occasions to get him out of all kinds of trouble. Yet his true citizenship was in heaven, and he made it very clear that everyone knew that. He acquired comfort and anticipation of future glory. He had hope because he recognized his true citizenship in heaven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can anyone be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. Even though many people today claim to be Christians, that does not mean they all know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They've not been born again. If they have not been born again, they're not a part of the colony of heaven. Rome could give Paul certain protection while he was here upon the earth, but his heavenly citizenship made him eternally secure through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In being born again, Paul had all of the rights and the privileges available to him through the new birth. Well, we need to look at a little bit of biblical exhortation. And to be honest with you, we do not have a great knowledge about what life will be when we are resurrected and glorified before the Lord. But one thing is for certain, we're going home. Amen? We're going home. And 1 John 3:2 tells us that we will be like our Lord, for we shall see him as he is. And we've taken out our citizenship papers. See, this is very important because we were not natural born citizens of heaven. I've been amazed through the 45 years of my ministry how many people have said, well, I'm a Christian. I was born into a Christian home. Well, I've always been a Christian, and yet they've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior. No. You have to be born again to become a citizen of heaven. There is no one who is automatically a citizen of heaven, even if you came from a Christian home. I asked this question earlier. Are you interested in heaven? You ought to be, because Jesus is there. Look again at verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship, our homeland, our commonwealth is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for the Savior. And the word look here could also be translated wait. But we don't like that word. We don't like to wait. But the Greek word here indicates expecting fully. There is no doubt here whatsoever. Jesus Christ is coming back to take us to glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says of the believers in Thessalonica that they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, that wait for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. And when we get to heaven, verse 21 states that he will change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious bodies. Our bodies right now are suited for this world, but not for our existence in heaven. Our earthly bodies are subject to disease and death and decay. God's word says they will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us that we will all be changed, and it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Anytime you read God's word, or hear it taught, or hear it preached, you need to be saying to yourself, what does God want me to do? Which leads to a few final applications. Number one, we must recognize that we are merely colonists. And you're in a colony of believers right here at Bethany Bible Church in the community of Hendersonville. And God has placed you where you are for some very specific purposes. There is a sense that every local church where God's people gather is a colony. Secondly, we must recognize that the charter of all heavenly colonies is the Word of God, both the Old and New Testaments, revealing God's clear plans for us as His children, revealing the plan of salvation, how we get to be a citizen of heaven, revealing His plan for discipleship for those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. The world in which these colonies exist has no message of salvation. It is only God's word that has that message. It is God's will that daily we seek His guidance in the book of heaven, His word, in order to fulfill the desires of our Savior, our King, our Lord. Number three, we have a message. And that message is to the world around us. Where God plants us in the colonies, He wants us to take His word to those about us. We are commissioned to advance His kingdom as the colonies are set up around the world. And not only has He given us the message, but He has empowered us, first by the Holy Spirit of God, and secondly, by the privilege of heavenly intercession. And there are many, many things we cannot do, but we can get on our knees and say, oh God, I know this is Your will. Which direction do I take right now? How do I overcome this barrier? How do You want me to proceed, etc.? Because you see, it's our responsibility to take this message to the ends of the world. Number four, just as the Roman colonists made Rome real, wherever they went, God expects us to make real the life of Jesus Christ in this world. We are to embrace His actions, His character, His mindset, even to the point where we have been called little Christs or Christ ones or Christians. It is God's will that others see Christ in us, His love, His mercy, His grace, His truth. A colony living in Antioch some 2,000 years ago saw Jesus Christ in the people, and they didn't know what to call them. And finally, they just said, they're Christ ones. They're Christians. And many of them became Christians because the colony reached out to them while that colony was there. Number five, we must constantly be aware of the fact that our time here is only temporary. Very, very short. Considering the commission of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us know how long we're going to be here. And number six, as a colony of people under the citizenship of heaven, God expects us to live differently from the world around us. Yes, we live in colonies. We are not of this world, though we are in the world. God does not want us to dig our roots deep into this world. In fact, we need to stand against the world and the flesh and the devil who is the prince and the power of the air, the one who gets into everything we try to do to discourage the work of God, just as he did in Hollywood. Number 7, and by the way, before I go there, sin must never have dominion over our lives. We have a power against sin. If you sin, it's because you choose to sin. We must not allow this world to influence us, or as Paul said it in Romans 12, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Number 7, it is God's will that we be obedient to the laws of our homeland while we are away from home. We are expected to serve the Lord as our King, as our Master. He is the head of the body, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what, class? Colossians 1:18. He is the head of all of the colonies. Number 8, as the colonists left Rome and settled in other areas, they discovered sicknesses and diseases and things to which they were not accustomed. You realize that only Adam and Eve ever lived in a perfect society. There was no disease or sickness there. But you see, because of the curse of sin in this world, God wants us to understand that we may face certain problems, sicknesses, troubles, failures, dangers, persecution, and even death. Enduring any suffering here, the Lord wants us to identify with him and his suffering and to recognize that we have an eternal home to which we will one day return, where there will no longer be any suffering of any kind. Revelation 21 and 22 states that there's no night there, no more curse, no tears, no sorrows, no crying, no pain, no more death. Can you even imagine that? What a wonderful heritage we have before us. It reminds us that he does not want us to get too comfortable down here. But you see, when we do suffer, not only can we identify with his sufferings, but we have a God who can see us through those sufferings. Amen? And Paul reminds us that when we go through these kinds of sufferings, we can turn around and help other brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through the same kinds of experiences, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, say, where'd you get that from? It starts out in chapter 4. Notice it with me, please. In chapter 4 actually continues chapter 3. In fact, verse 1 should have been the end of chapter 3. But I want you to see the end of that first verse, because Paul makes it very clear. This is the exhortation. What's our role in the colonies? Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. He's saying, keep standing firm. Hold on to your present possession in Jesus Christ. Hold on to those heavenly hopes. You will go home one day. But I want you to understand that God wants us to hold fast to our heavenly citizenship. He wants us to move forward bravely, proud of our heavenly citizenship, and unafraid, recognizing that we are as safe in God's will just as though we were already within the walls of heaven. And we need to be heavenly minded. Again, not so much that we are no earthly good, but till then, let us as citizens of heaven carry on bravely, unafraid, proud of our heavenly citizenship, and remembering that we are as safe through his power as if we were in the walls of heaven already. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And as long as this world is kept out of the life of the believer, no harm can come to you, no matter where you are doing God's will. I go back to that earlier question. Are you truly interested in heaven? You're going to live there forever if you are in Christ this morning. How much do you study God's word to learn about your eternal home? Are you interested because Jesus is there? You can't get there without knowing him. Are you honestly prepared to go there if today your physical life should end? Verse 21 again, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like his glorious body? But I want you to understand something this morning. If you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you're stuck with a body that you have. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, along with all of the other believers, the colonies are going to be called home. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. How about you? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for thy word. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of your plans in this world, planted in various areas where there are colonies of your people. And Father, I pray that our little colony right here at Bethany, God, that our light would indeed so shine so brightly in this community that others would come to know our Savior as we know him. God, give us a passion and a burden for others that we might be able to share thy love, thy grace, and thy mercy with others. Again, I praise you for your word. God, help us to leave today encouraged as we look forward to eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.